We'll come to the scripture reading in Zechariah chapter 9. And so turn there with me in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 9. We'll read verses 1 through 17. Zechariah 9, verses 1 through 17. These are the words of the living and true God. The burden of the word of the Lord is against the land of Hadrach, with Damascus as its resting place. For the eyes of men, especially of all the tribes of Israel, are toward the Lord. And Hamath also, which borders on it, Tyre and Sidon, though they are very wise. For Tyre built herself a fortress and piled up silver like dust, and gold like the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will dispossess her, and cast her wealth into the sea, and she will be consumed with fire. Ashkelon will see it and be afraid. Gaza too will writhe in great pain. Also Ekron, for her expectation has been confounded. Moreover, the king will perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon will not be inhabited. And a mongrel race will dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines, and I will remove their blood from their mouth, and their detestable things from between their teeth. Then they also will be a remnant for our God, and be like a clan in Judah, and Ekron like a Jebusite. But I will camp around my house because of an army, because of him who passes by and returns, and no oppressor will pass over them any more. For now I have seen with my eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off, and he will speak peace to the nations. And his dominion will be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I have set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have the hope. This very day I am declaring that I will restore double to you. For I will bend Judah as my bow, and I will fill the bow with Ephraim. And I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece. And I will make you like a warrior's sword. Then the Lord will appear over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning, and the Lord God will blow the trumpet and will march in the storm winds of the south. The Lord of hosts will defend them, and they will devour and trample on the sling stones. And they will drink and be boisterous as with wine, as they will be filled with a sacrificial basin, drenched like the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they are as stones of a crown, sparkling in his land. For what comeliness and beauty will be theirs! Grain will make their young men flourish, and new wine the virgins. And those are God's words. The beginning of chapter 9 is the judgment of Yahweh against the neighboring nations of Judah. And so it comes verse 1 as the burden of the word of Yahweh against the Syrians, the people from Tyre, the Philistines, and others through verse 6. And yet verse 7, look at this amazing word of among them concerning the Gentiles. Verse 7. That there will be a remnant among them, and they will turn to Yahweh as their God. They will be, it says, like Judah. They'll be like God's people. And that is a great word to Gentiles, even from those wicked nations. And surrounded by these nations, verse 8, Judah will be protected by the mercy of God. And verse 9, the promise we have of the coming Messiah, who is king, who will reign over all, who he brings about salvation. He says he's endowed with salvation, this king. And so again, pointing to the fact that he's not just king, he's not just as God king, or as king, he's also God, but he's the mediatorial king. He's come to save as king. And he does this, even pointing us to right before the crucifixion, when he's mounted on a donkey, humble, pointing to that is that prophecy of in the Gospels of Jesus, when he does that, when he enters Jerusalem before the crucifixion. And so he's the one who rules over nations and the church and all creation, and so brings about his kingdom, which is described in verse 10. Again, his rule and dominion is from sea to sea and to the ends of the earth. And when you get to verse 11 and following, we see now that Judah has been set free from exile. And they're under obligation now, much like being redeemed from slavery to return to the Lord. We must be those who have been redeemed by Christ, always turning and obeying the Lord. And the Jews have returned. And having returned, they will be victorious over their enemies, is that which is pointing forward for us to be victorious over our enemies. Of course, our enemies are the sin, our sin and the devil. And in Christ, for that comes, for it is said that we are more than victorious, Romans 8. We are more than victorious through Christ who died for us on the tree, on the cross. And so having been redeemed, the people of God are described finally as beautiful, and will be the recipients of much blessing because of the love of Christ. And so chapter 9 for us is the picture of salvation in Christ and the glory of blessing and blessings that attend to this truth, even not just for Jews, but for Gentiles too. And so this is yours, all who believe, all who turn to Christ, like it says in Romans, from your sins, believing in his blood, you have life forever in Christ. And so you're called here to believe that Christ died for your sins, lest you die forever in them. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is our King forever, our mediator King, who intercedes for us, who has reconciled us to God through his life and death on the cross, shedding his blood and giving his body in that substitutionary atonement, where our sins are atoned for and we are credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That we would not die, because we know the wages of sin is death, but we're thankful that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we're thankful also this day that you have given us the Lord's Day to worship you, to commune with you, to fellowship with you, and hear you speak to us through your word. We are thankful that you have blessed us richly with the fact that you've drawn us to yourself, as we've been hearing in the evenings, that you bring us into your private chambers and you commune and fellowship with us with that private communion, and yet that picture is that of the church with you. We're thankful that you are our husband and our King and our Lord and Savior. Father, we ask that you would help us today to see our sin, to turn from our sin unto you. Even all of us, maybe even the some who do not believe in you, even our children. Father, we pray that they would believe unto salvation, that they would not just believe the facts or just to give lip service, as many children have done, but rather that they would truly believe and trust in Christ alone for their salvation, lest that they die eternally in their sins, undergoing the fire and the brimstone of hell that we will hear about this morning. Father, we're thankful as we think of other churches And we pray for them. We're praising you for the 40 years of New Hope Presbyterian Church today that they celebrate. And we're thankful that you have preserved them thus far, that you have given them many years, and their current pastor who preaches the gospel. We're thankful for that. We ask that you would continue that ministry there for many years to come, and they would continue to be faithful to your word and to you. Father, we're also thankful for the communion and fellowship we may have with the Shawnee Church, which we have many close relations with the people there. Father, we pray that you would not allow them to be discouraged about the pastor that they called not accepting that call, but do praise you that he accepted a call in one of their RPCNA churches. Father, we ask, though, that you would give them encouragement and provide a minister for them soon, that they would be having that long-term ministry of a minister of the gospel for them, and that the word would go forth to them and they would be led through your word as Christ is head of the church. And Father, we pray that our fellowship with them would continue and grow, if possible, that you would grow your church through our fellowship and through our encouraging one another. We pray that though we are small, we would be able to encourage them and many of the saints there through various means and service, even perhaps through the word read and preached, if that is allowed in your providence. And Father, we're thankful for the desire of both of our sessions to want to plant churches. And though it is not your timing right now, it seems, we pray that in the future you would plant a gospel-preaching church in Kansas City. And pray for your wisdom in these things. Father, we also pray for our government, and I see in the news that our government has bombed Syria, and we know that is very interesting and tricky, we might say, situation with that in Russia. And so, Father, we ask for your hand to be upon your church and upon our nation. Father, that you would give them wisdom, whether that is the right way to go or not. We pray that you would help them by saving their souls and causing them to rule according to your word, that our country would hate evil and love good. And Father, we ask that you also would protect your people during this time, and that you would protect us, that you would give us patience with our government, and yet also the still longing to submit to them, because you command us to submit to our governing authorities, even though it is quite difficult many times, given how they rule. And Father, we ask that you would make it so that the church is encouraging to the government at the right times, to call them to faithfulness to your word. And Father, in many areas, our government is failing and sinning and turning from you. And we know the just punishment of that as they rebel against your Son, Jesus Christ, who is King. The great punishment of that is destruction. And we've seen that in the scriptures many times, especially as we've studied Daniel. And so, Father, we pray that you would spare our nation for this time, and yet bring about your justice at the right time, according to your will. That is a trembling thing, we pray, and yet we ask for your will to be done. And show mercy to your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.